news channels out there. There's three that are really big. Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, NBC. Big news networks. Fox News has become the biggest. Fox News has become the most watched, reaching 200 million people each month. And I wonder this morning if you would agree with me. If we were to write a book report, if we had to write a chapter summary, if we had to write a book, write a love story, if we were asked in writing a movie, a novel, if we were asked to write a love song this morning, if we were asked to go to court and stand up for somebody, how many of us know every single situation in life, it's important who we get our information from as the source. The source is really important, whether it's news, whether it's life, and even if it's the topic of love, which we have been on this month in our theme called True Love. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to John chapter 21, and we're going to start in verse 1. John 21, verse 1. It says, later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee, and this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two other disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. Verse 4. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples could not see who he was. So he called out to them, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. Then he said, throw out your net on the right hand side of the boat, and you'll catch some. So they did, and they could not haul the net because there were so many fish in it. The disciples that Jesus loved, which is John, such a good name, he said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he was stripped for work. He jumped in the water, and he headed to shore. Verse 8, the others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them. Fish cooking over a charcoal fire, some bread. Bring some of the fish you just caught, Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard. He dragged the net to the shore. There was 153 large fish. 153 large fish. And yet, the net hadn't torn. Now come and have some breakfast, Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew that it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them bread and ate the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he'd been raised from the dead. Verse 15, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know that I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Verse 16, Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Verse 17, a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Then Jesus said, feed my sheep. So this morning as we start to break down our story, it says the boys gone fishing. And I think it's really important to understand kind of the moment and the mindset that they were in. For these boys, most of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. He did have a doctor. He did have, Luke wrote the book of Luke, but he had a tax collector. He had fishermen. And Jesus originally called the beginning disciples, what? As they were fishing. So these men that followed Jesus, the 12 disciples, their very beginning experience, the very first time that they decided to listen, to follow, what were they doing? They were fishing. They just got done fishing. fishing. Fishing was their life. Fishing was their occupation. Fishing is the way that they paid their bills. They weren't rich. They were kind of like middle class. They made a living. It's what they did. And then they made Jesus. And for 3.5 years, 12 men, they followed Jesus every single day. They saw Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle. He provided. He did things. He healed. He rebuked the demon. He raised the dead. There are so many things that Jesus did every single day that they were a part of. So for 3.5 years, they had a break from fishing. They had a break from their job, the job that they used to do, their occupation, their livelihood. Jesus dies. Jesus raises from the dead. And then Jesus, as he would come, he'd visit, he would disappear. These guys, the disciples, probably kind of lost a little bit. You know, when your life gets changed upside down, when there is a major shift in your life, when a person like Jesus becomes God's Savior, your friend, is with you for a long time, 3.5 years. I'm sure they're thinking about the good days they had with Jesus, laughing around the campfire, eating s'mores. I'm sure over and over again they had pictures and images in their head and time that they spent with Jesus. But now everything changed because he died. He was crucified. Yes, he came back to life. But I think they were wondering, will life go back to the way it was, or will life be different? How many of us have ever been in that situation when something happens? Will life ever go back to the way that it was, or is it going to be different? For the disciples, going fishing wasn't meaning that they were going back to their old way of life, but many, that's what we do. Let's be honest. How many people do we know who they start to seek God, they start to find God, they start to get close to God, and then the minute they start to get close, the devil comes in, he hits them with some good bait, they take the hook, they get on it, and what they do, they slowly just get back into the old way of living, who I used to be before I met God. Jesus gave the disciples purpose, fulfillment, a great social interaction. 3.5 years, he built their self-esteem. They saw personal growth in their lives. And so for them, they found themselves in a morning and a night, not knowing what to do. Let's go fishing. This job was the thing that used to define them. And we ask ourselves, what is a job for us today? You know, for many, a job is just a way to pay the bills. Hopefully pay the bills. For some, though, a job is way more paying the bills. It's a title. I want the title. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to flip or microwave burgers at McDonald's. I want to be the one who deep fries French fries all day long and watches them sizzle with grease. A job. For many, goes beyond pay. Goes beyond a title. For some, this is where I find recognition. For some, they don't get recognized at home. For some, they don't get recognized anywhere else. And so at the job place, I get recognized. And companies today, believe me, they have all stepped up their game. They want to recognize employees, most, not all. But big companies have learned, do we want to keep employees happy? We have to recognize them. We need employee of the month. We need to give them gift cards. We need to do this. Companies have realized we need to do things to make people feel fulfilled. Now, if we were to ask ourselves about our jobs for a second, do large companies truly love us or do they just need us? The answer is they don't really love us. Do they enjoy good hard workers? Absolutely. Do they truly love people or do they just need good hardworking people? And at the end of the day, sometimes a job, even I think for the disciples before Jesus, so before Jesus, the job was everything. After Jesus, the job was nothing. It was, yes, it's a way to get my bills paid, but it doesn't mean to me the way that it used to. We see for the disciples, and we don't, me and Kim like to fish, we just hardly ever do it, but fishing all night and catching nothing. That's so horrible. When you're lost in a moment and you don't know what to do with your life, I think for the disciples, they were desperate. They were looking. They were searching. Remember our offering verse? Ask, seek, knock. This is where I think the disciples were, because Jesus was gone again. They didn't know what to do next. What's going to happen? Will we go back to our days of revival? And every day we're pumping Jesus up. He's pumping us up. We're doing crusades over here. We're doing crusades. They're wondering all these things, what are going to happen? And then they go out fishing because they're trying to find something. Just like many of us, even though we know God is everything, we're still trying to find something. I need something. I need it now. Like a good sip of coffee. And how many of us have ever been in a situation where we desperately needed something, but like the disciples, even fishing all night, coming up with failed expectations, and coming up with nothing? Depressed. Feeling like a failure. Man, life used to be so good, but everything's different now. Life used to be so good, but everything's changed. Life is so different. And I love Jesus' sense of humor, because what is the very first thing he says to the disciples? Have you caught any fish? And he fully knew that they didn't catch any fish. Jesus is God, so he knows everything. So what's the very first thing he says to them? Have you caught any fish? And they're thinking to themselves, let's go murder this guy. Who is he, and why would he ask us such a thing? Feeling maybe like a failure, feeling a little lost and depressed, guilty. Jesus, didn't he ask them this question to remind them? Did maybe Jesus ask them this question, maybe to humiliate them a little bit, or even dig inside them a little bit? You know, when we sometimes talk about people's failures, past, guilt, shame, sometimes we talk about other people, yes, to humiliate them. Jesus, when he does things that come to light, it's not to humiliate us, but it's to set us free. Jesus' purpose for life, he's the light of the world. Light is revelation. Jesus, to speak truth. Truth is the only thing that sets people free. Jesus, whenever he does something, if he brings up our past or guilt or shame, and it's not to humiliate us, it's not to throw mud on us, it's not to smear us into the ground. If Jesus brings up something that's very hurtful in our life and things that bring us pain every day, it's to set us free. So he's, have you caught any fish? And he's making a statement to them. Have you caught any fish? He knew the answer. The answer was no. So what does he say? Throw your net on the right. This is the second time it's happened with the disciples. Why is this important? Well, these days, these times, these fishermen, you never, ever throw the net on the right. The net belongs only on the left. This is the way I was trained. This is the way I was brought up. This is the way that's comfortable. Because on the right side of the boat, there was equipment they used for steering the boat. So you don't throw the net where the steering side is. You have to throw it on the left side, where it's free and open, it's clear. How many of us ever get stuck in doing things, well, this is the way I was told. This is how I was brought up. This is how life has been handed to me. This is the deck of cards I've been given. So I might as well just accept it. How many of us know sometimes it's hard to change? It's hard to get out of our comfort zone. It's hard to change. It's hard to get out of the left side of the boat and throw it on the right side of the boat. To do something that's opposite of what my flesh, what my thoughts, what they feel like. So Jesus said to them, have you caught any fish? And they said, no. So he says, throw the net on the right side, on the right side. And honestly, this morning, how many of us, when we hear something that's opposite to what we think and feel is correct, do and throw the nets on the right side? How many of us live with the notion, I need to be different. I need to mix things up. I need to change. If I want to be blessed, if I want to find all that God has for me, I need to start doing things this way. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek the Lord when you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let people who are wicked change their ways. Banish the thought of ever doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord so that he can have mercy on them. Turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways, nothing like your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. There's way more to life than what we see. There's way more. How many of us have seen how complicated life can be? How many of us have seen how many circumstances, how many things that are just difficult situations? School and jobs, bills, creditors, cars, family, babies, teenagers. How many of us have seen life changes, life's different? But if I continue to always deal with things the way that I've always done, I'm not ever going to be able to see the things that are bigger and greater that God has for me. Jesus said to him, you haven't caught any fish because you keep doing things your way. You fished all night, and you haven't caught anything because you keep relying on you and you're not relying on me. You fished all night, and you spent the whole night playing cards, talking, laughing, giggling, which, okay, it's good medicine. But you didn't catch anything because you didn't trust and look and listen. Listen, Linda. You didn't listen for my instructions. We get stuck real easy. My way or the highway. It's my way, it's my tradition, it's what I found. But you know, how many of us know God is so good? And I love how they fished all night. They might have ate a little bit on the boat. They might have had some PB&Js. They might have had some peanut butter and jelly. Could have had some crackers that they ate with some fish, maybe made some sushi. Had a little wasabi. But after a long night fishing, long night working, what did God do for them the very first thing? He made them a nice, warm, hot meal. Look how good God is. This is the God who created the heavens and the earth. This is God who gave his only begotten Son. This is God who sent Jesus to come to the earth, to die on a cross, to save us from our sins. And what is he doing? He could be demanding, you get off the boat, you bring in the fish, clean it, and cook me some breakfast. Like some of us are demanding as adults. But notice how Jesus wasn't demanding. What was he doing? He was still serving. Jesus was still giving. And he was giving them the one thing that really sounded good in the moment. A nice, warm breakfast. And how many of us come home from work? Oh man, that nice, warm dinner. That is so amazing. How many of us have ever been so hungry, worn out, and that meal just was like an enlightening experience all in itself? It was, I mean, even eating PB&J sometimes after a long day is still and could be an enlightening kind of moment. But God is so good. No matter that they wasted their time and energy all night, God is so good, no matter they didn't trust him, they didn't look to him, they didn't listen to him. God is so good, even though they were confused and lost and didn't know what was going to happen next. God is so good, even though they lost their way, even though they were waiting in the dark and the lights were off and they didn't know when the lights were going to turn back on. No matter where the disciples were, God is good, because what did he do? He met them at the right moment and he fed them breakfast. It says that there was 153 fish. And what's amazing about 153 fish, there's a few things. There were so many fish. There were so many fish that the nets should have torn. There were so many fish that nets should have ripped. So there was a miracle in this catch of fish, because again, too, you catch fish at night, you don't catch fish in the morning. You don't catch fish at night, I mean in the morning, you catch them at night. And they didn't catch anything in the night. So there was a miraculous catch of fish at the time of the day. There was a miracle because the amount of blessing that the nets were holding, they didn't rip, they didn't tear. There was a miracle that the nets were able to hold all of the blessing. Sometimes we produce things. We go back to our jobs and we make money and we get raises, we get promotions, and we get to grow our bank account, and all those things are lovely and happy, and it feels like we're being blessed. But blessings and good things that we can do for ourselves, they come and they go, just like the wind. Blessings that God gives, there's such a heaviness and amount of blessing that no matter where we are in our life, we're able to contain this massive blessing, and then it lasts for a really long time. His blessings last forever. Deuteronomy 21:8 says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God, carefully keep all his commands I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the world." You'll experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns, your fields will be blessed. Your children, your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds, flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets, bread boards, and cheese will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they'll scatter from seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do, and I will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he's given you. Verse 9. If you obey the commands of the Lord, if you obey the commands of the Lord, if you obey the commands of the Lord and walk in his ways, God will establish you as holy people, as he swore that he would do. All the nations of the world will see that you're people claimed by the Lord. They're going to stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land that he swore to your ancestors to give you. Blessings, blessing you with many children. Hallelujah. Numerous livestock, abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens, and it will bless all the work that you do. You will lend to many, but you never have to borrow. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God, I'm giving you today, if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You will always be on top, never at the bottom. You must not turn away from the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow any other gods and worship them. Everything listed in here, all of us would agree, sounds good to me, sign me up, check the box, sounds, the blessings of God, sounds amazing. In the beginning, we talked about sources for news, and all of us have our favorite source for news, TV or phone, tablet. All of us, as people, desire connection, human connection, love, and we have a source for love. Hopefully, it starts with your spouse first. But the source of love, you're never able to fully understand it unless you know the source and who made it. Blessing, Jesus blessed the disciples in this moment with something they could not give themselves. They could fish and they could catch a few, but they didn't on this night. Jesus, he blessed them with something that they could not give to themselves. The things I just listed in Deuteronomy, there's a few of these things that maybe we could do and earn on our own. But all of the blessings, it's not something that we can earn unless we, what did he say? Learn to follow and obey. If you want to be blessed, you follow and obey. If you want to truly be blessed of God, that involves following, obeying, and giving your life, my life, our life, to trust and obey. In God we trust. But honestly, no matter how many times we say in God we trust, How many people trust in this more than they trust in God? No matter how many times we talk about it, no matter how many ways we write it, change it, sing about it, we can say, God, I love you. God, I trust you. But yet, how many turn to the value of what they have more than they value God's word? The blessings of God, if you want them, they can be attained. It can be something that God can give. What do you say? Obey and follow. And his blessing is way bigger than anything that you and I can produce on our own. If you were to take the letters in the dictionary, the Hebrew dictionary, and you were to add up these letters to 153, if you were to take the value and the letter and add them up and put them together, it makes a statement, I am God. How many fish were caught? 153. What was God, what was Jesus making a point to these people? Stop trusting yourself because I am God. In Genesis, the name Yahweh, which is God's name, mentioned 153 times. In the beginning, Genesis is the book of beginnings. It's the creation of the world. It's the story of how we got here. It's the love story. It's putting everything together. In the very beginning, God's name spoken in the book of Genesis, how many times? 153 times. How many fish were caught? 153, stating, I am God. Those who choose to follow after me can live in the shadow of God's protection. 153 moments, meetings, waiting for God. This is the third time after Jesus died and rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples. He died, he left them. And in this text, third time that he appears to the disciples, and there's something that he does three times. He asks Peter a question. How many of us like being interrogated? How many of us like being on the spot, in a spotlight, and all eyes on you, and it's time to ask questions? It's time to get and dig into your life. Peter, how many of us know he kind of put himself out there a little bit? He liked to talk. He liked to brag. He was big. He was buff. And that's okay. So when he comes back from the water, Peter is the one who gets interrogated. Why would he get interrogated? Well, I think it's because of this. John 13:36, Simon Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? This is before he died. Jesus replied, you can't go with me, but you're going to follow me later. How come I can't come now, Lord? He asks. I'm ready to die for you. John 18:15. Simon Peter followed Jesus, as did another of the disciples. The other disciple was acquainted with the high priest, so he was allowed to enter into the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. Peter had to stay outside the gate. Then a disciple who knew the high priest spoke to the woman watching at the gate, and she let Peter in. The woman asked Peter, you're not one of the man's disciples, are you? No, I'm not. Wait a second. Didn't he just say in John 13:36, Jesus, I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to give my life for you. Now, five chapters later, what is he doing? I don't know, Jesus. I don't know who he is. Because it was cold. The household servants and the guards had made a charcoal fire. They stood around it, warming themselves. And Peter stood with them, warming himself. It goes on, verse 25. As Simon Peter was standing by the fire warming himself, they asked him again, are you one of the disciples, are you? He denied it, saying, no, I'm not. One of the household slaves, the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, didn't I see you out there in the olive grove with Jesus? Again, Peter denied it, and immediately a rooster crowed. Jesus appears to him three times. Jesus asks a question three times. Peter denied knowing Jesus how many times? Three times. Sometimes, unfortunately, some of us in here, we've turned our back on God more than three. For Peter, it was only three. some of us have done and turned our back on him more than that. But there was something that Jesus was doing in this moment. There was something that was hanging over a cloud because Peter made a boast, I would die for you. And yes, he did. We knew that Peter was crucified on a cross upside down. So yes, he was going to die for Jesus. I will never deny you. Oops, denied him three times. Peter was full of guilt. Peter was full of shame. And he had this like cloud. I don't know if you ever had like a cloud of heaviness on you, a cloud of tiredness, a cloud of this, a cloud of that. Peter had a cloud hanging over his head because he felt bad. He did what he said he would never do. That's why some people, sometimes some Christians, I'm going to go change the world. And then they never do anything for God. Sometimes there's people, oh, I'm going to give, you know, $5 million, and they don't want to give five. There's people who make big boasts about what we're going to do for God. G-O-D. Yes, him and me, we're a pair. There's people who, they say things, and then they never do it. They never do it. Kind of like Peter. Boasting, bragging, and then you know what? Failing miserably. And then on the other side of the coin, because how many of us know there's always two sides of the coin, there's people who say, well, I'm just not going to say anything because I don't want to fail. Some people, they're loud and they're boastful, and we're going to make statements, even if it happens or not. And then you have other people who say, no, I can't do that. It's better not to say anything at all because then I could look like a fool. People would laugh at me. I'd look like a failure, afraid to fail. But Peter this morning becomes in an intense conversation with God the Creator. And what is the thing that God says to him? Do you love me more than these? What was Peter's job before he met Jesus? He was a fisherman. What was he surrounded with in this moment? 153 large fish. They were hitting the payday. They were hitting the lotto with this one. And he says to him, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than what these fish give you? Do you love me more than what these fish do for you? Do you love me more than money, a title, a job? And he asked him three times. And when he asked him three times, he used love in a way. It's called agape love. And agape love is a selfless, unconditional love. And so he asked Peter, do you love me with everything that you have unconditionally? When you hear me, when you feel my presence, when I bless you, obviously you love me. When you get good for me, of course, you say that you love me. But how about when I'm not there? How about when everything seems dark? How about when everything seems distant? Will you have agape love, selfless, unconditional love? Do you love me more than yourself? Do you love me more than your wants? Do you love me more than your desires? Do you love me more than your job, your past, your occupation, your money, your friends, your family? And then he says, do you love me? And one of the words that he uses there, phileo, is like a affectionate, brotherly kind of love. And so he says three times, do you love me? But two of them being the same, because all people agree, the highest form of love is agape love. The highest form of love, you can Google it, we all know it, it's God's love, which is agape, selfless, unconditional. How many of us know when Jesus was asked, what's the two greatest commandments? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, with all that you have. And then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus breaking down once again for Peter, do you love me more than anything? And will you love them more than anything? Will you love me more than anything? And will you love each other more than anything? two greatest commandments, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So this morning, as we start to wind down, wrap up kind of a little bit, we're going to go to Matthew 16, verse 17. As we're talking about Peter, Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you, Peter," which means rock, "upon this rock I will build my church, and the power of hell will not conquer it. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then he sternly warned them not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Peter, in this moment, and how many of us know, sometimes it takes many moments before we finally get something. How many times does it take reading a certain book before we understand it? How many times does it take listening to certain songs before you actually understand the words or hear the words? Sometimes as humans and sometimes as people, it takes us repetitive over and over and over again. Peter, finally, 3.5 years with Jesus. Jesus dies, crucified, rose again. Third time. He's finally now got it. The death, the resurrection, and you know what he got? Man, he got forgiveness. In this moment, the overwhelming feeling of being forgiven, he finally got it. I'm forgiven and I'm free. What Jesus did for me, he forgave me and I'm free. I never have to be tied. I never have to be weighed down. I never have to be stuck in chains. The walls that we built up in life, there's nothing in life that could ever slow or stop me again because I'm forgiven and I'm free. And what happened in this moment for Peter? There was an identity change. He had an identity change. He became not just a fisherman anymore, but he was said to be the man on whom the church was built because he gave his life so willingly. I'm forgiven. I'm free. I know who I am. It's not my job. It's not my title, fisherman. Everybody used to laugh at me. That's what I do for a living. I fish. I'm not rich. I don't make a lot of money. It's not who I am. It's just a job. He finally got it. Working. Job. It isn't who we are. God is everything that we are. You know, there's 12,000 broadcast stations that you can listen to. 5,000 AM, FM stations that you can listen to. 5 to 7 major news channels, TV channels. We know the big four. Again, NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox. There's a source for whether it's news or entertainment that we all look to. There's a source for life and for love that we all look to. There's a direction, a mission for life that all of us, we all rely on a source or certain sources. John 1:4 says this, "The word gives life." That word life right there is Greek for Zoe. The word gives life. The word gives life. Where is the source for life? It's right here. It's right here. How do I know what my life needs? It's right here. If I need direction, if I need love, if I need forgiveness, if I need help, if I need direction, where do I go? I go to the source. It's the word that gives life. Colossians 1:15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before everything and supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made things that we can see and things that we can't see. Thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Jesus existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. There's a source for life. There's a source for love. There's a source for hope and peace and goodness and blessing. But when we take a detour, when we take the left turn, when we throw the net on the left, we miss the source every time. As God blessed the disciples in this story with more than they can handle, God wants to bless you. As God blessed them, God wants to bless you this morning. As God provided for them, God wants to provide for you. As God healed then, God wants to heal now. As God did great things, making statements over and over again, don't trust in yourself, trust in me, because I'm God. So as we wrap up this morning, two things, and I'm going to read one last closing verse, Mark 4:35. As evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross the other side." They took the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although the other boats followed. As soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat and began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind. He said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith?" So as we wrap up, two things. The disciples were in kind of a dark moment. The disciples were in a moment of struggle. The disciples were confused. They were lost and didn't know what to do next. The disciples didn't know how to get out of, away from, we just lived the best 3.5 years of our life, and they didn't know what was going to happen next. Here in the last story that I just read, the disciples with Jesus on a boat, wind, waves, crashing, boat rocking, both symbolizing the two stories, the same thing. In life, you're going to have moments where you don't know. You're going to have moments where you don't understand. You're going to have moments where it feels like the wind and waves of life are crashing and hitting us harder than they ever had before. But the most important question we should ask ourselves is not, why am I going through this? Why is it hitting so hard? Why is everything so expensive? Why is the government crazy? Why does it seem like everybody's lunatics? These are questions that we're wasting time speaking out in the air. Jesus did amazing things. The disciples, every time when Jesus was on their boat, what happened? Everything became still. Keeping Jesus close to you should be priority numero one. Because when he's in your life and when you're close to him, it's silent and it's still. When Jesus is in your life, he will bless you, he will lead you, he will guide you, and he will direct you. No matter what we go through, no matter where we are, we can listen to Fox News, and many people swear by it. Some people swear by CNN, and the people who watch CNN and Fox, they fight all the time, and it's awesome and fun to watch. There's people who support politicians, and they want to fight and kill each other of who they support. Why? Because the source of news that's filled their head, for many, it's warped their thoughts. Our theme this month as we end today was true love. Many are seeking, wanting to find true love. But instead of going to the correct source, they found their own source, and they're not ever going to find it. If you want true love, if you want to be fulfilled with purpose and a mission in every part of your life, it starts with a source. God is the source of life. God is the source of love. And he alone can give you what you need. Let's pray.